Our scripture reading this morning is from Luke 5, 1 through 11. Listen to these words of scripture and in them the Spirit's word to you. Once, while Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God.
Good morning again. It really is so good to see you out there today. It just so happens that on the same day that we install and ordain our deacons and elders to service, that the scripture reading is Jesus calling his first disciples. That was not planned. It just sort of happened that way. A happy accident, as Bob Ross might say. The installation we did today looks a bit different from that of Simon, James, and John. The scene begins with Jesus standing at the edge of Lake Gennesaret, which means harp or harp-shaped. Other writers call this the Sea of Galilee or the Sea of Tiberias. Those might be more familiar to us. And as Jesus is standing there, the crowd gathers around him, pressing in on him, eager to hear him speak. Jesus walks down toward one of the boats sitting along the shoreline, and three fishermen are there cleaning their nets after an abysmal night of fishing. No fish, not a single solitary one. I imagine them tired, defeated, frustrated. All this work, all this effort, and nothing to show for it but empty, dirty nets. And then here comes Jesus, crowd behind him, walking down toward their boats. "What now?" one might exasperatedly say to the other. Jesus climbs into one of the boats and asks the fisherman called Simon to take him into the shallows. Net still in hand, Simon Peter makes his way over to the boat and shoves off from the bank. As they are rocking gently in the shallows, Jesus sits down and speaks to the crowd. We have no idea what Jesus says to them. Luke does not tell us that part. But after Jesus says whatever he says to the crowd, Jesus turns to Simon Peter and says, "Put out into deep water and let down your net for a catch. Do again what you have done before every day for most of your life. Do again what you just did an hour ago and expect a different result." Jesus, isn't that the definition of insanity? Simon Peter says, "Don't you think I tried that already? We've been at this all night. If there were fish to catch, I'd have caught them already. We'd be having fish for breakfast." But Simon has too much respect to completely disregard Jesus. So with a sigh, Simon adds, "If you say so, I'll cast the net. We'll try again." Simon paddles the boat out to the deep part of the lake, and with one last shake of his head, lets down the net. The net begins to swell and almost burst with the weight of fish. Simon signals to James and John to get out there with the other boat and help with the haul of fish. James and John frantically paddle out to meet Jesus and Simon. And they begin dispersing the weight as evenly as they can, but the catch is so great that it overwhelms the boats. Simon himself becomes overwhelmed. Simon is overwhelmed by the event itself and his participation in it. The event is humbling and frightening. Simon falls on his face and says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." The word that Luke uses for sinful does not have the connotation that we have come to expect when we hear the word sin. The sense is more like, "I am not free of imperfection." Simon Peter says, "Why have you come to me? I am not particularly holy or worthy or special. I'm just Simon, just ordinary Simon. How is it that I could be up to this task? How is it that we are here doing this incredible thing? I'm just Simon. Just Brittany. Just Ryan. Just Peggy. Just Paul. Just Diane." There is this lie floating around out there that you have to be special or perfect or particularly gifted in order to be a part of incredible things. You have to be the best speaker in order to speak a healing word or a comforting word. You have to have it all figured out before you start. But the first thing about incredible things is showing up. Being present. Getting in the boat. And the second thing about incredible things is continuing to show up. Putting out to the deep water again and again, because one of these times there will be fish. It is what Friedrich Nietzsche has called a long obedience in the same direction that culminates into that which makes life worth living. Consistent energy poured in the same task again and again. Now, I'm not saying we continue to commit ourselves to the things that are not life-giving. Continuing to commit to an unhealthy relationship or a job that has run its course, that is a whole different evaluation that needs to be made. that is completely different than what my fifth grade self would tell you about how practicing scales on the piano was the opposite of life-giving. Long obedience in the same direction sets its sights on the bigger picture. Practicing scales on the piano builds dexterity and familiarity with key signatures. Kind of crucial skills to have if you want to play the piano. Long obedience in the same direction is being a disciple of something. I'm not the first person to say that. Eugene Peterson has written a whole book on it. But to be a disciple of something means that you believe that the grind of it, even on the bad days, amounts to something greater than the individual parts. Makes the world a better place. Creates an energy all its own that beautifully ignites life and energy in others. An energy that compels nutrients up from the depths of a weary and tired soul. And that part is crucial because inevitably there are days when it's time to rehearse the song for the performance and it's just not coming together. When the result of the double axle, double toe loop in the figure skating routine results in a devastating crash to the ice. When the hours and hours spent to petition Congress about student loan forgiveness or raising the minimum wage amount to kind of nothing. When years are spent poring over manuscripts that tell important stories about racism, gender, and sexuality, only to have those books banned from school libraries. Those are the days of no fish and stinking empty nets. What truly changes the world is ordinary people showing up, performing ordinary and lackluster tasks that end up making the difference between justice and injustice, function and dysfunction, abundance and empty nets. I'll leave you with the words of Margaret Mead, words that have long brought me comfort on empty net days. She said, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has." Amen and amen.